But for certain reasons, which will be fully apparent, I saw fit to agree. "It's more than a little matter," said he, "and that's why I ask you to do it. And now I know that I can depend on you doing it. A second-class carriage at Marwar Junction, and a red-haired man asleep in it. You'll be sure to remember. I get out at the next station, and I must hold on there till he comes or sends me what I want." "I'll give the message if I catch him," I said, "and for the sake of your mother, as well as mine, I'll give you a word of advice. Don't try to run the Central India States just now as the correspondent of the Backwoodsman. There's a real one knocking about here, and it might lead to trouble." "Thank you," said he simply. "And when will the swine be gone? I can't starve because he's ruining my work. I wanted to get hold of the Digamba Raja down here about his father's widow and give him a jump." "What did he do to his father's window, then?" "Filled her up with red pepper and slippered her to death as she hung from a beam. I found that out myself, and I'm the only man that would dare going into the state to get hush money for it. They'll try to poison me, same as they did in Chortnumna, when I went on the loot there. But you'll give the man at Marwar Junction my message." He got out at a little roadside station, and I reflected. I had heard more than once of men personating correspondents of newspapers and bleeding small native states with threats of exposure, but I had never met any of the caste before. They lead a hard life and generally die with great suddenness.